What's up, everybody? This is Michael on behalf of Kevin Richter here at Sound Sessions on WGN Plus. Just wanted to thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes to fill your ears with lots of really cool interviews here at Sound Sessions. Search Sound Sessions WGN. Also, if you have a moment, rate, review, and add a few comments. We love hearing from you guys, and it'll help us immensely on the iTunes ranking. You can also check us out on Twitter at SoundSeshPod, Facebook, SoundCloud, Instagram, or hey, if you feel like it, you can send us a good old-fashioned email at SoundSessionsPod@gmail.com. We respond to every question we're asked, so hey, shoot us an email and we will get back to you. And now, without further ado, here is our interview with Chicago's own William Beckett of The Academy Is. Yeah,
yeah. All right, I'm Flex Pavilion.
Hello, this is Andrew W.K.
Yo, 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 it's Miles from Slack Stupid.
This is Ali
F. This is Nick from Chook Chook Chook.
What's up, guys? This is the Chain Smoker.
This is the Nameless School from Ghost.
This is Beefcake the Mighty from Guar.
Hey, folks, we're Royal Blood.
And you're currently listening to Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
Sound what?
Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
You're listening to the sweet sounds of Sound Sessions. Thank you.
Hey, what's up? This is William Beckett, and you are listening to Sound Sessions.
Attention, attention, man.
One of the finest musicians straight from the northwest suburbs of Chicago, and now a world-traveling jet-setter rock star. They're going to be live at the House of Blues on Sunday, December 20th and 23rd, playing their album Almost Here in its entirety. Sound Sessions is delighted to welcome singer-songwriter William Beckett of The Academy Is. William, how's it going? How you been today?
Hey, Mike. It's good. It's good. Strangely enough... Well, not strangely, really, but we're all, like, really, really, really big Star Wars fans. So we went to the 2 a.m. Star Wars last night.
You did? I had no idea you guys were such big Star Wars fans. So without spoiling it all, how was it?
Without spoiling anything, it was spectacular.
I've been hearing that it's one of the best movies of all time.
I mean, it just depends on what you're into, I guess, but... I'm definitely into it.
That is so cool. Did you guys dress up at all?
No, we didn't. I mean, it was like right after the show, so we had to like, you know, kind of boogie over there.
Well, that's awesome. You know, I was going to ask, so you're on tour now, and I was going to see how it was going. I mean, obviously, if you're going to see Star Wars and stuff, it's going pretty well.
It's really been incredible, actually. I mean, I'm kind of at a loss for words about it because, you know... When we did Riot Fest and Double Door in Chicago, the, like, uproar online from people in other cities was pretty overwhelming. So we were, at that point, we were kind of like, yeah, like, what if we extended this? And then the offers kind of crept in from venues, and we were like, let's make this, you know, a celebratory tour and not just like one show. So we didn't really know what to expect as far as like the turnout or the tickets or anything like that, but it's been amazing. I mean, it's been overwhelming. It's been packed in every city and everyone is singing every song, every lyric at the top of their lungs. And it's, you know, it's kind of like it used to be, but even better.
That's so epic because the Riot Fest show was just explosive. And I was going to ask, is it because of this crowd response that you guys wanted to, you know, keep this going a little bit?
I think so. I mean, like, it fuels us every night, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's one of those things where we feed off of the energy in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And the energy on stage is like, I'm going to be going crazy no matter what. But if the crowd is like super into it, it just makes it that much more interesting because, you know, I may pull something out of the magic hat that I wouldn't have otherwise, you know.
So. Everyone loves when you pull something out of the magic hat, William.
Thank you.
So I was going to say, you know, the fan base has, I wanted to ask about that because has it changed at all in the past 10 years? Or is it still, you know, are you still getting like kind of a teen crowd? Or is it the same people that were with you from the start, kind of?
It's cool because I feel like it's really interesting and, you know, kind of eclectic mix of like multi-generational people that are at the shows. I mean, we've seen people who were, you know, 12 or, you know, 8 years old when the album came out, and the, you know, they never got a chance to see us live, so they're, you know, they're here for the first time, and we've seen a lot of that, and then a lot of familiar faces that have been there since the beginning. And then there's also a lot of parents that are at the shows that have been, you know, they've been taking their kids mm-hmm. for, you know, years and years, and it became something that they enjoyed too. So, yeah, there's a lot of parents there too. So, I mean, it's, you know, a lot of our fans are parents now as well. I mean, I'm a parent now.
So. Yeah, I was going to say congratulations on becoming a parent. Is it kind of weird to see everything come full circle like that?
No, I mean, it's poetic in a lot of ways, you know? I mean, like, we're not reforming or anything, so it's a cool, special, unique way to really celebrate this record that changed our lives and that touched a lot of people. Without having like mainstream radio success. So I think it's a real accomplishment, and it's something that we're all proud of, and our fans are really proud of it.
It's so epic. Let's take you back real quick, because, you know, you guys have affected a lot of people, especially here in the suburbs of Chicago. I mean, a lot of our listeners are from the city. Now, the Academy is Fall Out Boy, bands like October Fall. You all came from the Chicago area. Now, when you guys came from here, did it feel like a movement? Did you know that you were starting something when you were in that kind of wake of this storm you guys were creating? Because for a while, you know, Chicago kind of own the pop punk scene, to be honest.
It did. And I mean, even now you see like real friends coming out of Chicago, and like they're making a big splash in that world as well. So I mean, there's something to be said about that period of time in Chicago. It was extremely unique. And it wasn't, you know, I mean, it was Fall Out Boy, it was Plain White Tees, even like,
yeah,
you know, August the premiere actually signed first to Fubar Ramen.
Wow.
And once that happened, we were like, holy crap, like maybe we can make this a thing. And then when Fall Out Boy got signed, it was Pete who was like talking to the label and was like, hey, you have to like come here, see this thing happening organically, and check out this band, the Academy. At that time, it was just the Academy.
Yeah, I remember those days. I remember seeing you guys at the Metro, and that was the first, I think one of the first shows that you guys played as the Academy is, and you had these great buttons. That's because you just switched the name to the Academy is, and you had the Academy is Bootylicious. I think I still have that button somewhere.
Nice. That sounds about right.
But that's the cool part about living in Chicago at that time, was this emergence of great music. Now, and bands like Fall Out Boy and the Academy is created that kind of family atmosphere for the first time that I've ever seen it. Like, you didn't see a lot of bands, you know, piggybacking on each other and joining each other's albums, being on each other's songs. How important do you think family was at that time and still today?
I mean, it definitely still is, you know. We had a bunch of our old friends coming out to all these shows, and, like, we see people in New York, and it's like we never skipped a beat, you know. I mean, with Fall Out Boy and Panic and Gym Class Heroes, Cobra Starship, I mean, like, we toured the world with those guys.
Wow.
Like, three times over, mm-hmm. four times over, you know. Like, I spent more time with those guys than I have with, like, my dad, you know.
It's wild.
Which is totally wild. But I mean, we like adopted that mindset of family, that mindset of like, this is our crew. Like, no one can mess with this.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like a hip hop thing. Like, I mean, you see that a lot in the hip hop world, but you'd never see it really in like the rock or alternative world. So like the cool thing about us too, like, was also that all of our bands do sound different, you know, like we all have our own thing. by Gym Class Heroes is like a hip-hop group, you know, and then you got Panic, who is all over the board, and then you have Fall Out Boy, and then you have us. So, like, it was definitely, you know, a tight, you know, it was a tightly knit group. We were all on the same management company. We were all, I mean, it was a family, you know, and it still remains.
Yeah, and the thing about that is it's so genuine to see that. You see the love in that band. I think that's what kind of helped create that enormous fan base, was the fact that everyone saw you guys working together, and it was a beautiful thing.
Thank you. It was all my idea.
I was going to give you mad credit for that. So let's go back to the kind of the beginning. What made you want to start playing music? I mean, do you remember the first albums that you listened to as a young William Beckett, and which ones kind of truly inspired you to create this sound?
Yeah, I mean, it was really a young Billy Beckett at that point. So basically, it was like my parents got divorced when I was 3, so... you know, I spent time with both of them separately, and my mom was really, really into, like, new wave, mm-hmm. like, late, you know, like, the 80s new wave, so, like, New Order, we're talking, like, Depeche Mode, A Tears for Fears.
Nice.
The Cure. So I got a pretty heavy dose of that, and then my dad was really into, like, early 90s alternative, so, like, STP, Rest in Peace,
yeah.
Scott Weiland.
Poor guy.
Yeah, man. The industry just kind of, it kind of devoured him a little bit. And he devoured himself a little bit. But
yeah.
Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, and you know, bands like that. So I was exposed to both of those, you know, sort of generations of music early on. I never got into like hair metal, thank God.
I was going to say, that was right around the time your parents probably dabbled in that a little bit.
Thankfully, they both hated it. Like, my dad didn't like it. He was also more into, like, the new wave. I mean, he liked Billy Idol. I mean, as far as the 80s go, he was more into, like, Billy Idol and, like, mm-hmm. you know, the punk end of the spectrum, I guess. But then my stepdad had, like, later on, while I was in high school, my sophomore year, I remember distinctly, he let me borrow his Led Zeppelin box set and his Pink Floyd box set.
Okay? Very so nice.
Like the entire, so like now, I'm like that's the point where I like really dove into classic rock, and then you know like live DVDs of Led Zeppelin, and watching Robert Plant perform and like watching that band perform, that's what made me want to like truly become like a front man in a band.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? At that time, I was doing a lot of like acoustic singer-songwriter stuff. You know, like super heavily influenced by like bands like Saves the Day and Dashboard Confessional,
mm-hmm.
Chicago Zone Alkaline Trio, and like, you know, a lot of the underground indie stuff, because at that point the radio sucked
mm-hmm.
big time. I mean, like, I don't want to listen to Nickelback or Creed, so like
exactly
I hear
you, man. it was like that time, you know, when Q101 was playing nothing but these gross, just dirty, just popular rock songs, and it was the same stuff over and over again, so you probably wanted to break away from that.
Yeah, totally. And then they'd sprinkle in like some, you know, like Green Day, like Longview, and it's like,
yeah,
okay, like I love Green Day, like, dude, it's like, you know, I mean, how about something new, like give us a chance, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. that was sort of like the anti-radio rebellion age, when I really, really, really got into bands that were on indie labels and bands that were, you know, playing Firefly Bowl and Metro. Not just like Allstate Arena or whatever, you know, so.
Yeah. Now, you're playing at the House of Blues. Again, it's December 20th and 23rd. Now, what are some of your favorite venues to go to? Because, I mean, you grew up here the same way that most of our listeners did. You were going to shows at the Metro and at the Double Door and Empty Bottle. I mean, what are some of your favorite memories of living here in the city when you were growing up?
I mean, for me, the number one was Metro and the House of Blues. I mean, I saw some of my favorite bands at those venues when they were like in their prime. you know, bands on Vagrant Records and Drive Thru Records and, you know, going to see Midtown and, like, Fireside Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, on Fullerton. It's like, you know.
It's such a cool part of Chicago that we have all this music in one spot. How do you think that Chicago kind of influenced your music? I mean, was it because we are so engulfed in this sound and you can kind of see a show every single night and there's so much music? Or what was it?
I think it's... a big part of it is the fact that, it's a music city. It just is. Like, you know, it's eclectic, and there's a lot of different kinds of music. But for me, being in the suburbs, like, it was those, like, long drives from, you know, Schaumburg or Barrington or Elk Grove, you know, down to Metro or down to House of Blues trying to find parking. It's snowing. Your windshield wipers aren't working the right way.
Yep.
You've left, you know, like, right from school, and your parents are going to be pissed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's that. And then it's also, you know, I feel like just being in the Midwest, we're in Detroit now, and it's flurries outside. But I think that having seasons is really conducive to being creative as well, because we physically experience, you know, this, like, wide spectrum of environment where, you know, it's hot in the summer, it's freezing and snowy in the winter, and then we have these, like, spring and fall, like, beautiful
glimpses. They're just glimpses of hope, really, to be honest.
Definitely, but I think that likens itself to the emotional and artistic spectrum as well. So, like, we experience it all. It's not just, like, sunshine and rainbows every day.
Exactly. So are we to believe that William Beckett's love songs are mainly just about the seasons and hoping that summer comes soon?
I've written a lot of songs veiled in seasons when they were really about girls. But, you know.
I love that, man. I love that. Your music is fantastic. And your that album just stays so strong, Almost Here, again, at House of Blues. Now, William, you're kind of like myself. You grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, and you're used to driving around doing nothing. What are some of your secret talents? Like, what kind of stuff do you like to do off the road?
Well, secret talents, I mean, I can solve a Rubik's Cube in 90 seconds.
No way. 90? A 90 flat?
I think that my all-time fastest was, like, 1 minute and 15, but, like, on average, it's, like, 1 minute 30-ish.
That's awesome.
I'm a big Game of Thrones fan. I've read A Song of Ice and Fire, like, those 5 books I've read twice, and they're pretty giant. It's not really a talent. That's more of just, like, a geek thing.
It's always good to geek out on that kind of stuff. I mean, Game of that's an epic show.
Yeah, it's an epic show. It's a, you know, fantastic book. Well, really, really great characters. When I'm home, you know, being on the road so often, you know, being at shows and being in big cities and smaller cities, but just being around people constantly, I just like to kind of chill out, you know, like Netflix and chill sort of deal.
Yeah.
When I'm home and just, you know, enjoy that time with my daughter and with my wife, and just, like, really enjoy the family that and the home that I'm never at, that I pay for, you know.
Well, that's life on the road. That's life on the road. And you're right, man. And now is the good time to do it, because, as you know, Christmas is coming up. And
it is.
And I wanted to know, what's, like, a William Beckett Christmas like?
Well, this year's gonna be different because, you know, on Christmas evening, not Eve, but on the 25th at night, we all fly back to California to continue the tour.
Mm-hmm.
But Christmas Eve is home, you know, so I'm really gonna be soaking it up and enjoying the look on our daughter's face, you know, in the morning and everything. Being woken up at 5 a.m. and then, you know, thinking back to when I was a kid and, like, I did that same thing. I couldn't sleep on Christmas Eve. No way.
Yeah.
There's, like, no way I could have slept on Christmas Eve. But my mom was awesome about Christmases. My dad was awesome, about Christmases. So I've got really nothing but like really nice memories about it, and I want to create that for our daughter as well. And we have a lot of family locally, so you know, we go to the in-laws, we go to my parents' house, my dad's house.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, for Evie, my daughter, it's like 3 Christmases. So
wow,
she's usually pretty stoked on that. But yeah, you know, it's nice. It's like Home Alone, except you know,
there's gonna be no one lost.
Left Home Alone. No one's lost in New York. It's like, how do you get lost in New York? It's a grid system.
You know? Exactly. And I think Chicago's pushing for that as well. And it must be really weird, you know, because you're the dad now. You are the one getting the presents for your young one.
Yeah, Amazon Prime is amazing.
Oh, it's so good, so good. So before I let you go, I wanted to know, in this Christmas spirit, what are some of the best gifts that you've gotten from fans now? Because I see that you post a little bit about them.
Yeah, totally. I mean, as you can tell by like my Twitter feed or you know my Tumblr or my Instagram or any of the social stuff, I love my fans and they're so incredibly supportive. And my solo stuff as well, they've just been there and been fantastic, and open-minded and just like lovely. Just overall lovely. So on this tour, I've gotten a lot of really cool stuff. I got like a Game of Thrones. Stark family, Direwolf, like a coffee mug, and that's
awesome.
Really nice. I'm a huge wrestling fan, actually, which most of my fans don't really care about that, but I'm a huge wrestling fan.
What kind of wrestling are we talking about? WWE?
WWE?
Oh, nice.
WWE, yeah. So a fan brought me a Kevin Owens scarf, so I was
nice.
Pretty stoked about that.
What do you think about the Undertaker? You think he's done for good?
No. The Undertaker will do WrestleMania again. I think it'll be his last one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He is getting old, but man, that glare that he gives.
He can still go. I mean, those Brock Lesnar matches were pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think it's going to be taken to a new level.
Yeah. I was impressed. I mean, he's not going to fight Brock again, that's for sure. I'm thinking like maybe Cena, Undertaker or something at WrestleMania, but we shall see.
Yeah,
sorry, I'm geeking out again.
I love it. Well, this was William Beckett of the band The Academy Is. They're going to be playing here in Chicago at the House of Blues Sunday, December 20th and the 23rd. And William, this was an absolute pleasure talking to you. I wish you all the best on your tour.
You too.
This is
Thanks,
great.
Mike. I appreciate it.
This is Sound Sessions, your voice for Chicago music.
Can't get enough of Sound Sessions? Like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter @SoundSeshPod, and check us out on Instagram @SoundSessionsWGN.